On today's episode, Shanna Schutte joins the show to discuss themes from her latest book, 2 Minutes in the Bible for Women. We also take time to wrestle with some of life's biggest questions, including the challenge of unanswered prayer and finding God in the midst of pain and sorrow. Join us as we seek to follow Jesus together wherever he may lead.
You're listening to the Wisdom Hunters Podcast, helping you apply unchanging truth in a changing world.
Hello and welcome to the Wisdom Hunters Podcast. My name is Tripp Prince. I'm the content director for Wisdom Hunters, and here with me is Boyd Bailey, the president of Wisdom Hunters.
Hello, Tripp. Good to be with you today. It's a special day.
It's a special day indeed. It is not just you and me, but we have a third guest. We have Shanna Schutte here with us today. Good morning, Shanna.
Hi, I'm so glad I'm here.
This is a special day. Wonderful to have you. If you are a longtime Wisdom Hunter and have read the devotions, this now is the team of sorts, the Wisdom Hunters writing team. And so many of you will have been blessed by Shanna's writing and her devotions over the years. And it's a joy to have you now here in person in Atlanta. Shanna, for those who don't know you, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, just some of the basics, and then we'll ask some more pressing questions as well.
I'm not sure about pressing. Okay, we'll just...
we'll start easy.
Okay, good. I'm from Southern Idaho. I'm a middle kid. I have an education in art. I actually went to college and studied art. And so I always tell people that if you want to write or do something that you have never done before, don't think, well, I don't have a degree in that, because if God's given you the skills, you have the desire, the talent. I'm just like a poster child for God just being able to use anyone. So
awesome. Awesome. Do you still get to use the artistic side at all these days?
Yeah, I do. I love to watercolor, and I like to oil paint sometimes. I don't get to do it as much as I'd like because I just get busy, but I do love to paint.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'd love to see him sometime. What do you do for fun in addition? I know life is busy, but other than painting, how else do you spend your time?
I know one thing is on her arm that's... a little bit of a distraction, but yeah. You survived.
Well, you're talking about hobbies, and I'm not sure if this would be a hobby, but I just learned how to ski when I was 46, so a few years
hobby.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I went in February for my third time, and I tried to do some new things, and I wrote about skiing in the devotional, in one devotional for Wisdom Hunters, and talked about how brave I was. Or maybe people were telling me how brave I was. But anyway, what that bravery turned into was a fracture. But because I'm stubborn, I didn't go to the doctor until about a week and a half ago. So, you know, 2 or so months later, I finally went to the doctor. So I'm wearing this nice little brace today.
Very nice. Better late than never, I guess.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Shanna, tell me this. Big question, but this is a fun one to help people get to know you. If you could have a meal with anyone, living or dead, who would it be and why?
You know, when I read this question, I thought people would say someone famous or whatever, but I honestly would want to have a meal with my husband.
Hmm.
I just love him. He's awesome.
That's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
Yes.
I was hoping for me and Boyd.
Just thinking about it. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
We'll be the runners-up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful. We'll hear more about your husband in just a little bit.
Yeah.
That's part of our story today. Last important question. This is really life-changing. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Very good. We can continue.
Can
then.
I still stay?
Yeah, you can stay. You're allowed to stay.
You pass.
Very good. Well, wonderful. Well, let's continue and we'll dive into the devotion itself. Well, Well, we continue now with our devotional spotlight, really the heart of the podcast. And Shanna, I'm so excited to look at one of your devotions. This is one that we published on Wisdom Hunter's website, but it's also included in your book, 2 Minutes in the Bible for Women. And it's called When You Wonder Why God Hasn't Answered Your Prayer. If you are listening and want to read this, you can find it in the book. It's number 65, or on our website, if you search for just the title, When You Wonder Why God Hasn't Answered Your Prayer. It was published on April 26th of 2016. This devotion, Shanna, is based on Isaiah 40, verse 31, which says, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I think the question of unanswered prayer is something that many of us wrestle with in our lives at various times, and something we can all relate to. And as we read this devotion, it's one that you can particularly relate to in your desire for marriage, and a desire you've had for a long time and spent much of your life wrestling with why that desire wasn't fulfilled, why that prayer wasn't answered. Why don't we start there and you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get married for the first time until I was 46. So I've been married almost 3 years now. And I was like a lot of people who are out there. I mean, for the first time in history, there are more single adults in the United States than there are married people. So there's over 50% single adult. I just met with a couple friends last night who are in their late 40s, lovely women who are unmarried. But, you know, when you're not married and you want to be, it can be really, really challenging. And painful. As you pray through that process, you have questions about what's wrong with me, why isn't God answering my prayer, am I doing something wrong? There's just all kinds of mess that's all tangled up in that. But I wasn't going to be, you know, they say make your list like about what you want in someone. And I was not going to be a part of a blended family. That was not on my list. I didn't wake up and go, hey, I think I'm going to become a part of a blended family. But over the years, it's like God just started to prepare me for that in different ways. And now I'm a part of a blended family. I'm married to an awesome guy. And I'm just, every day, I'm so thankful for him. And I think because I did marry later, I think I have an appreciation for marriage in a way that I wouldn't have. But it was difficult at times wrestling with that unanswered prayer. And it's not like people have asked me, how did you, you know, come to terms with that? How did you, you know, how were you content? But I don't think it's something that you just easily do. It's like anything that you surrender. You do it on a daily basis as you just keep coming back to God and just laying it down at his feet.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, these themes of contentment and trust and navigating that in these seasons of questioning and doubt. Prayer is so central to that. I'm curious, over those years, how did your prayer life develop? How did it shift? How did it change? How did these unfulfilled longings help you learn contentment, especially in prayer?
Yeah, I think there's a wrestling that happens. You know, at first I think I prayed in expectation. You believe this is going to happen. And then you start to submit. Then it's like, okay, God, I'm surrendering to you and I'm laying this down. But sometimes that doesn't even come until after you're in despair. You know, honestly, it's that place where we're waiting in expectation. It's not happening. Now I feel despair about it, and now, Lord, I'm just going to trust you in it. And so all of us go through those kinds of things whenever we wrestle with any desire that we have that goes unfulfilled.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let's read a quote from the devotion, and maybe you could just kind of unpack that for us a bit. So I'll read it, and then we'll reflect on it. So you say this, Shanna. You say, this reminds us there are times when we have to go through what we don't want to go through to get what God wants and what is best. During those times, surrender to God may be difficult, so in the Lord's mercy, he may temporarily withhold an answer or revelation from us that would bring an instant or clear perspective because we aren't ready for the answer, even if we think we are. He knows the perfect time to answer our prayer. It's only after we've waited and wrestled in confusion and perhaps tried to do things our own way and fallen flat in failure that our hearts are made pliable in the process to receive God's answer. There's a lot in there we could unpack. What stands out to you as we read that?
Well, you know, this is my story. This is me asking God to allow me to get married or to bring a person into my life. thinking I was ready for the answer that he was going to give me, not being ready for that answer, and then him having to shape me. And so often in the waiting, as we pray about something, God's not just interested in the answer. He's interested in transforming us so that we're ready to receive the answer. And like I said, I wasn't ready to be a part of a blended family. But over the years, through the decisions that I made that were sometimes poor, and me falling flat on my face in failure, and then also experiences that I had and things I read in scripture prepared me. For example, before I met my husband, there was a guy I was interested in that lived in Denver. I was in Colorado Springs. And I was starting to warm up to the idea, okay, you know, maybe I need to be more open about marrying someone who has children if they have the biblical right to remarry. And so this guy had a little girl and she was 5 years old. And I just struggled with that. And I was down on my face on the floor one day and said, Lord, you know, I'm not sure how I can love this little girl. She has a mom. And to me, what that meant was I wasn't going to have any place in her life. There was going to be no room for me in that family. And clear as day, you know, it's the Lord speaking to you when it just comes out of nowhere. It wasn't what you expected. And it's just truth that pierces your heart. The Lord said to me, you know, that's true. She has a mother, but I am her father. And then there was the interpretation that followed up. The Holy Spirit was saying, she has value because she belongs to me. It doesn't matter who her mom is. She belongs to me, and that's why you would love her. And so that kind of started shifting my idea of, you know, it's all about me and my comfort and my perfect picture and my picket fence life. It's about reaching out to others and becoming an example. So through that experience, God started shaping me to receive the awesome, I call them bonus kids, that I have now. I've got 5 of them, and one of them just made me a grandma like about a month ago. And so there's just blessings that I didn't anticipate. And then in scripture, you know, reading about Ruth and Boaz, the Lord encouraged me one day. I felt the prompting to read the book of Ruth. Sat down to read the book of Ruth. This is when I was still single. I was in my early 40s. My husband and I hadn't connected, and I was starting to feel sadness about not getting married. And as I was reading, I felt this hope start to rise up in my heart, and I was mad. I was like, God, don't even talk to me about hope. You know, you haven't given me what I want. And so as I was reading, though, it was God showing me, look, I took 3 people, Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi, who are not related to each other by blood, and I made a family out of them. And not only was it a family, but Jesus Christ came through that lineage. Now, why did God do that? You know, he would have, if he was going to write the story my way, he would have made it pretty. Like, he would have kept Ruth's husband alive, right? But that's not what he did. Instead, he did something that was redemptive. And isn't that how God is? He's redemptive. He's writing redemption into our story from beginning to end, ever since the fall in the garden. It's just really awesome.
I love that story, Ruth and Boaz. Like so many stories in the Old Testament, they're signs of what God's going to do ultimately in Jesus. And so you see Boaz, and you see this Christ figure who comes and intervenes in the messiness of life and the brokenness of life, and says, where this may seem hopeless and where you're vulnerable and broken, I'm going to come and speak life and love. And bring unity out of that brokenness, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And he wants to do that in all of our lives.
Amen. Amen. In this devotion, you talk a lot about themes of waiting and wrestling, which I think are really helpful. And as I chew on that, I realize there's probably helpful and unhelpful ways to wrestle with unanswered prayer, or wrestle with our expectations not being met, especially like in your case, situations where these are good desires. These are things that God wants for his people. The desire to be loved and be able to give yourself to someone is a good thing. And so you kind of might be thinking, why is this not being met? This is a holy and good thing. And so we wrestle with that, and sometimes it can probably lead us in to places we shouldn't go, places of despair, doubting God's goodness. And so I know this is a big question, but there's other people like you who, whether it's marriage or other desires, they've had these seasons of waiting in prayer. What does it look like to wrestle faithfully or wait patiently?
Yeah, wrestling faithfully, I think of the psalmist. You know, God doesn't ask us to just put aside all doubt. He doesn't ask us to lay aside all of our questions. He wants us to be honest with him. And I tell a story about a time when I sat down and I read a psalm, and I can't remember which one it was. But I decided that everywhere that the psalmist expressed his feelings, that I would color pink. And everywhere that he expressed God's truth, I colored green. And it was really interesting because what happened was there was a pattern. It was pink, green, pink, green, pink, green. Feelings, truth, feelings, truth, feelings, truth. And what that revealed to me is God invites us to be honest with him. You know, the psalmist was saying, Lord, where are you? And then he was going, but God, I trust you. You're going to show up. You know, so in our waiting, that's kind of a pattern that we can use in waiting, is to just be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm really wrestling. And then allow him to come in with his Holy Spirit and to speak to us about and to give us his truth. That can be hard sometimes, but I think it's only then that we can find the peace that we're looking for. Otherwise, we're denying our true desires, and then we're lying. There's no peace in that. Or, you know, if we're just being legalistic about it, there's no peace. I mean, the best thing is just to be honest with God.
I was talking with someone earlier this week, and they were kind of at rock bottom, really in a dark place. And they said to me, where do you go for hope? Where do you go, especially in the Bible, to kind of navigate this place? And without thinking, I said the Psalms.
Right.
Because for me, like you say, the Psalms contain the entire range of human emotion. They have sheer joy and delight and wonder at God's goodness. And then they have people who are in the darkest of places saying, God, have you left me? Have you forsaken me? Will you be absent forever? The kind of questions we ask, especially in these seasons of doubt and seasons of unanswered prayer. And so I think in the Psalms, we find a friend and we find someone we can relate to, because they don't hold back, do they? The Psalms have every emotion, and they don't try and, like you say, cover up or hide the fact that life can be hard and difficult, but still have ways to cling to hope in the midst of that challenge.
Yeah, and those And those times of unanswered prayer when we're wrestling with things, it can actually be a place of deepening. Like, we want to run from that. And we, in church, you know, we want everyone to have a smile sometimes. But if we would understand that those difficult places are places of deepening. So when we see somebody going through something like that, the best thing that we can do is pray for them. And even if they need to talk to us, to invite us to them, be real about what they're experiencing so that we can share God's truth with them.
Boyd, you've spent a lot of time with the Psalms. Anything you'd add there?
Boy, that was beautiful on the pink and the green. I had never thought about it like that, but it's so true. God invites us to be emotional, to express ourselves, so then our hearts are open to receive the truth. So thank you, Shanna. That was beautiful.
Thanks. Yay, God.
Tripp and Shanna, now is our section of the podcast where we talk about a wisdom resource. We love offering practical tools for our listeners so that they can take the scripture and then complement that with classical writings. So these are either classical writings from the past, which there's plenty of those out there that have these proven lives of faithfulness that we can learn from, or contemporary writers as well. And we know Dr. Dobson, James Dobson, has been really a spiritual Sherpa, if I could say that, for many of us, a partner in parenting. And Shanna, for you, Dr. Dobson was one of those resources God kind of dropped in your lap. And the actual book that we'll be addressing today is called When God Doesn't Make Sense by James Dobson. This has been a classic bestseller with over 1 million copies sold. And it seeks to answer that foundational question in life that we ask around why, the big why question. So, Shanna, tell us, why have you found this book to be so helpful in helping you navigate this topic of why?
Yeah. You know, I have found this book when I was a teacher probably 20 years ago or close to. And it ministered a lot to me at that time because, and I'm sorry, I keep coming back to the issue of singleness, but I had gone through something that was really difficult in a relationship and questioning why my life wasn't turning out the way that I wanted it to. And this book was really powerful in helping me to see that, well, first of all, he talks about this betrayal barrier in the book that was coined by R.T. Kendall. And that betrayal barrier is the place that many Christians, in fact, the majority, come to in which you have an unanswered prayer or you have a tragedy or you have something that's happened in your life. Life doesn't go the way that you want and you feel let down by God. And my first book, Betrayed by God, and that's with a question mark because God doesn't betray us, was shaped out of my experience that I had. So all of us, or many of us, experience that at some time or another. So in this book, Dr. Dobson addresses this betrayal barrier and talks about how we need to look at things within the context of God's love, that if we could really understand God's love, that things would look differently for us, and also just to be able to help people let go of the things that we don't understand. It's a really rich book, and I just encourage anyone who hasn't read it to read it.
And Shanna, hearing you frame that description, it reminds me of the idea that we can know truth in our head, but until our experience collides with the truth, it really doesn't become true understanding and wisdom. So thank the Lord that in your time of need and trial, he dropped this resource in your lap to help you integrate that truth. There's actually a quote in the book that's pretty powerful. I'd like to read it. It says, where Dr. Dobson says very profoundly, "There's no greater distress in human experience than to build one's entire way of life on a certain theological understanding and then have it collapse at a time of unusual stress and pain. A person in this situation faces the crisis that rattled his or her foundation. Then he must deal with the anguish of rejection. The God whom he has loved, worshiped, and served turns out to appear silent, distant, and uncaring in the moment of greatest need. Do such times come even to the faithful? Yes, they do, although we are seldom willing to admit it within the Christian community." So, you know, it raises this theological question where Peter talks about casting all our cares on God because he cares for us. But do we, Shannon, when times are hard like that, do we really believe God is good?
Yeah, I think a lot of us wrestle with that. And I think that sometimes it comes back to, and I don't want to get too far off on a rabbit trail, but our parental figures that we have had in our lives. Lots of times women, we get our picture of God from our father. The messages that we've received through church, all kinds of things can shape our expectations of God and who God is and what he should do for us. And so, yeah, we can go through very difficult times where we pin an injustice on God, think he hasn't been good. But in this quote, one thing that I really like, it says, about dealing with rejection, that your foundation is rattled. And then when your prayer isn't answered or you have this crisis, that it feels like rejection. Because, you know, like Tripp was saying earlier, the desire to get married, it was a thing like, hey, God, I'm not asking you to do something for me that you haven't done for other people, right? So, and because it's so close to your heart, because what you're praying about is so personal, now when God doesn't answer it, it does feel like rejection to us. And so you have to reframe what's happened to you with a little bit of a different picture. And what I often think of is the cross, because here's Jesus, who was God's own son, who was rejected in that moment when he was on the cross by his father. And so that is the picture of God's love for us. And we also can't see, you know, what God's doing in the future. I mean, he writes his story within the context of eternity. And so, but yeah, it can be really difficult. We do deal with those feelings.
Well, thank you, Shanna, for your honesty and explanation of this whole concept. And thank you for this recommendation. I'll say it again, Dr. James Dobson, the title of the book is When God Doesn't Make Sense. Wow, that's an intriguing title just to pick up the book for that. So thanks again.
You're welcome.
Well, Boyd and Shanna, thank you so much. That was such a rich conversation. We're going to conclude our podcast now with just a bit of feedback. As is our custom, we wrap up with either some questions from listeners. Would still encourage you to send those in. You can send them to podcast@wisdomhunters.com. And over the coming episodes, from time to time, we'll feature those and engage those as they seem to tie in with what we've talked about. But today, we've had a lot of wonderful feedback as it relates to our new app, and didn't want to keep that to ourselves, but wanted to make sure we share that as well. And so what I've done is just pulled a few of those quotes from people who've used the app and interacted with it, and wanted to share that, especially if you've not had a chance to download the new app, maybe as a encouragement to explore that. And so just a few here. This one comes to us from a reader in Florida. This says, I've really looked forward to reading the wisdom devotionals every day for the past 2 years. They've changed my life. Without God in my life, who I put first, there would be no meaning to our lives. God bless you. And then another one from Indiana that says, this is an excellent app, truly a blessing. Every day it's like they are talking to me personally, and I wouldn't recommend missing a single day without this app. Shanna, why don't you read one more for us? We have one from all the way from South Africa. Why don't you read that?
Yeah, this is awesome. It says, oh, wow, I absolutely love the app. The timing of the download was perfect as I was able to find encouraging words of wisdom to share with my family. We lost our dad on the 20th of April, 2017, and as much as the family is sad, we know that he is with Jesus as he was a man of God. May his soul rest in peace. Thank you very much, and God bless you for the free download. Now I can read on my phone anywhere or whenever I feel sad. Grace to you.
What a great quote. Thank you. And thank you to our readers, our app users who've sent this feedback in. I'd encourage you to keep doing so. We've had several people send some creative ideas on new features or new content ways we could expand the app. And we're listening and we're taking those to heart. And even over the coming months this summer, we've got some exciting stuff planned. Some app features that really are exclusive to the app, some exciting promos throughout the summer as we head into the fall. And so we would encourage you, as you journey with us as a Wisdom Hunter, make sure you do so on the app as well. Boyd, Shanna, any final thoughts for us before we conclude?
Just been a wonderful time. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom Hunters podcast. Continue your journey towards wisdom by visiting us on social media and at wisdomhunters.com, where you can download a free 30-day devotional ebook on wise living. Thank you for joining us as a Wisdom Hunter.